Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, we encourage your call right now to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. So if you've got something to talk about, we'd like to hear from you, because if it's the top of the hour, it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking about the implications of the resurrection, and I have a question for our listeners. How has the resurrection made a difference in your life? And we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. If the resurrection has made a difference as far as the hope that you have as a believer, shaped the way you live your life, giving you confidence and assurance, whatever it might be, we would love to hear your story today. 844-322-2742 is the number. I wanted to read this passage at the beginning of the broadcast. It's out of 1 Timothy, and Paul is writing to his young son in the faith, and he's saying to Timothy, I want you to stay at Ephesus, and I want you to command certain people not to teach false doctrines. Mm-hmm. So false doctrines were appearing early on in the church and in this great church at Ephesus. And Paul said to Timothy, I want you to be on guard against those things. And he goes down to verse 5 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and he says, the goal of this teaching or this command. And so he's talking about the gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he says there's a goal to that. There's a byproduct. There's a result to that teaching in the lives of the believers,
yeah,
those who recognize the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ Jesus. And he says the goal of this command is love. So love is the byproduct. Love is the fruit of this good news working itself in our lives. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a love which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ does something to us internally. So first and foremost, it gives us a pure heart. Mm-hmm. So we read in the book of Colossians, for example, that this flesh, this body of flesh has been cut away, has been circumcised in Christ Jesus. So we had affections toward the things of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. So that was our heart before coming to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. But that's been cut away in Christ. And now we have a new heart. We've been given a new heart, and we can obey Christ from the heart. So we have this pure heart. We have a good conscience, a useful, a beneficial conscience. Now, before, our consciences were driving us to produce dead works. But through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our consciences have been cleansed so that we can serve the living God. We read all about that in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, and then a sincere faith, a genuine faith. I love this word, the Greek word for sincere. It means without hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of actors, and there's a lot of actors in the church today pretending to be believers who are really not. But this faith that we have is genuine. It's real. Why? Because it's placed in the real thing, and that is Jesus Christ himself and the story that he lived out to purchase our salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection. So the goal of this command is love. Mm-hmm. Now, only the good news can bring that about. Now, he goes on and he says, here's the warning. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Mm-hmm. Now, the teaching of the law cannot do anything to us internally. It can't give us a pure heart. It can't cleanse our consciences. It can't give us a genuine faith. It can only do something externally. And so these teachers of the law have missed the real story, have missed the good news. And he goes on to say, we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, slave traders, liars, and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine. So what is he saying? The law is for the lost.
Yeah.
The law is for the unrighteous. Why? It is built by God, designed by God to reveal a person's problem,
mm-hmm.
to show man what his true condition is apart from Jesus Christ, so that he can turn to Christ for salvation. And when a person turns to Christ for salvation, something happens to him on the inside, a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And out of that comes the goal, and that goal is love.
Yes.
That's what this good news story is all about.
And that's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. If you would like to really join us with a question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the broadcast at about 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you are hearing the live broadcast, and a good opportunity for you to call right now and talk directly with us, Bob Christopher and Bob Davis here at Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. You know, friends, for centuries, whether by ignorance or deceit, certain passages of Scripture have been misconstrued and twisted, causing doubt and fear in the minds of believers and non-believers alike. And to help our Basic Gospel listeners sort out fact from fiction, truth from error, we're offering our donors Andrew Farley's newest book called Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. We'll send you a copy when you make your gift to Basic Gospel before midnight this Sunday, the end of our fiscal year. And truly, we need your prayers and your financial support at this time as we approach midnight Sunday, as I said, the end of our fiscal year. And we've talked about the urgency of this to make sure Basic Gospel is available to continue remaining on the air with this good news. So please make your donation at basicgospel.net. Help us keep the good news coming and receive your copy of Andrew's book, Twisted Scripture. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, let's go to the phones now. Let's see who's calling.
Hi, my name is Jared from Alberta, Canada. I just have a question in regards to imagery in Scripture. I'm wondering, does the crown of thorns represent something deeper than that? Like, was Jesus Christ the only one ever crucified with a crown of thorns? The first sign of thorns in Scripture was in Genesis, and also it talks about thorns in Paul's side. So I'm just wondering if the imagery behind the thorns might represent sin and suffering. And if that's the case, where would I go about sharing that? I thank you guys for your broadcast. Your ministry is awesome to hear you guys every day. Thanks again. Bye.
And that's from Jared in Alberta.
Well, Jared, thanks so much for that call, and that is just a great question. So we know that a crown of thorns was placed on Jesus' head. It was a show of contempt, of mockery by the Roman soldiers, and we read about that in three of the gospel accounts, John 19:2-5, Matthew 27:29, and Mark 15:17. And it happens immediately after Pilate hands Jesus over to the soldiers to be crucified. They put on a robe, they put this crown of thorns on his head, and they mock him. They mock the authority that he claimed to have as king of the Jews. So we know it was a sign of mockery from the world system. But it also does, I think, go back to Genesis 3:18, we see there after the fall that that God said some things specifically to Eve and then to Adam. And to Adam, he said, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. So a part of the curse was thorns and thistles in the ground. So that's a sign of the curse.
Yeah.
Well, what did Jesus become for us? As we read in Galatians chapter 3, he became a curse for us so that we could be set free. So I think there is some connection there,
mm-hmm.
In the fact that Jesus did become a curse for us, and in becoming a curse for us, then the curse that was over us, that held us captive to sin and death, has been broken once for all, so that we could be released, could experience true freedom through faith in Jesus Christ.
Jared, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, something really, really special coming up in September, early September. It's called the Simply Grace Conference. Fill our listeners in on what that's going to be about.
Well, it's going to be just a fantastic conference. We're all about the basic gospel. And when you think of the basic gospel, the word grace just stands out, and it really is front and center.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the grace of God, and not just in salvation. It's the very grace of God that saves us, that also sustains us. It's the way of the Christian life. If we're not living by grace through faith, then we're missing out on the abundant life in Christ Jesus. So we want to solidify that in your life. And we also want to show that, you know, apart from grace, we're just hopeless and helpless in this world, and that everything that God does toward man is an act of grace on his part toward us. So I think it's going to be a panoramic view of the Bible, and then we're going to focus it down and really get sharp-edged on how this grace of God makes a difference in our lives every single day. I'm telling you, it's life-changing. It will change your life, and we want you to be there. We have limited seating. It's going to be held in Old Town Louisville, just a beautiful theater there that we're going to be in. There's ample restaurants around. It's going to be a Friday night and Saturday. So come join us for the Simply Grace Conference in September. All the information is on our website. You can register there as well. Come join us. We would love to see you.
Indeed. Indeed. That's, again, in September 6th and 7th in Louisville, Texas, which is our neighbor just, well, actually,
well,
right
that's
here.
Where we are.
Yeah, where we are.
We're in Louisville, Texas.
We
yes.
Are. Yeah. Well, we had a call from Roseanne. Let's listen.
My name is Roseanne, and I was curious as to what Muslims read about in the Quran so that I could ask questions or answer questions. Why is this such a big religion, and how is it so distorted, and why hasn't anyone within their own faith questioned this? If you could address that question, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Roseanne, and I'll tell you just right up front, there are a lot of people that grew up within that faith that have questioned it and have come to know Jesus Christ. We interviewed a gentleman on our broadcast a number of months ago named Abdu Murray, and he grew up in a Muslim background, a Muslim home, and through a exploration of the evidence concerning Jesus, the evidence concerning his resurrection. I think it was a 9-year investigation. After that 9 years of study and investigating the evidence, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior and recognized the emptiness of the Muslim faith.
Yeah.
And so he set out to explain what he's come to know in his life to many of his people from the Muslim faith.
Right, right.
So we know that there are many people that are questioning that those doctrines, the validity of them, and seeing that they leave them wanting for something more. And so they find that something more in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, Muhammad is the prophet. He says that he received a revelation from God through the angel Gabriel, and those words that he received through the angel, he wrote down, and we know that as the Quran.
Right.
But there are a couple of other books that are important in the Muslim faith. There's the Sunnah and the Hadith. And the Hadith is just a collection of stories about the Prophet Muhammad. And then out of their stories comes the example of how Muhammad lived. And that's where the Muslims go for their practical outliving of their faith,
right,
so to speak. And I'm talking about their religious faith, their system of doctrines. And they believe five specific things that are important to them. The declaration of faith, there's only one God, and that, you know, the Arabic word for God is Allah. Mm-hmm. And so they pledge allegiance to Allah. They have daily prayers. They give about 2.5% of their income to feed the poor, to help the poor. They fast during Ramadan. When we were over in Israel, they were in the middle of Ramadan, mm-hmm. and we saw a lot of the celebration in the evenings. They fast during the day, and then they eat at night, and we saw some of those celebrations during the evening, and then the final day of Ramadan. And then they believe in making pilgrimage to Mecca, yeah, as an important. So those are the five pillars of the faith. Mm-hmm. And why do they believe it? Because Muhammad laid it out that way. He's their prophet, and so they look to him for everything in life,
right,
so whatever,
yeah,
he says. Mm-hmm. And they believe that Jesus was just one of the prophets. They believe Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Ishmael and all these were prophets, but Muhammad is the final prophet, and he has the final word of God to man. So why do they believe what they do? Because Muhammad laid it down, and he was able to spread those beliefs pretty quickly through the use of the sword. Many times, you know, they would say, give your allegiance to Allah and Muhammad, and if you don't, you'll
or
die.
Else, yeah.
So they would give their allegiance to Allah and Muhammad. And in the Quran, it says if you obey the messenger, Muhammad, it means that you're obeying Allah. Mm-hmm. So everything flows through Muhammad. He's the guy. He's the prophet. And so why do they do what they do? Because he wrote stuff down and things were written down about him that became their example of how to live out their faith practically.
Yeah. Roseanne, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. It was to me, and I thank you for researching that, Bob. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we have an open line at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. And friends, we are only 5 days away from the end of our fiscal year, and as we approach this Sunday, we do so not with fear of not reaching our budgeted needs, but with an urgency that we need to share with you, and with gratitude, of course, also to those of you who have been faithful in sharing and supporting this ministry. Give so far have cut into that $200,000 need that we had coming into the month, and we have that $35,000 matching gift offer that will double the impact of your gift by the 30th. Beyond that, we still have a long way to go, friends, to meet our need, our year end for our fiscal year end. So there is an urgency that we need to share with you. So please, today, if you can, go to basicgospel.net and click donate and make the most generous gift you can to help us close the year at midnight on the 30th. And that, of course, is this Sunday. For those of you who donate this week, we have a new gift to say thank you. And Bob, if you would, share what that gift is.
Well, it's Andrew Farley's new book, Twisted Scripture, 45 Lies that are impacting the church, and he cuts through those lies and gives some real clarity, and I think it's a wonderful book, and we want to put it in your hands. I think you're going to journey through some of the most difficult passages, and you're going to come away from that journey with a clear understanding of the grace of God and a fresh vision of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It really is going to be life-changing. And we want to give you this book because supporting Basic Gospel is important.
Yes.
And this is just a token of our appreciation to say thank you for joining with us to get the good news about Jesus out to as many people as we possibly can.
BasicGospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at BasicGospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have this great comment from Bob, who's watching us on Facebook, about the impact of the resurrection and the good news of Jesus Christ in his life. And this is what Bob wrote. Once I realized that I died in Christ and was risen to new life, my life changed. I was a Christian for decades before I internalized the fact that it is finished completely. I failed so many times and thought I let God down. Now I know that's the point. Now I'm able to let Jesus live through me, and I don't have the pressure to perform but form for God. It's a beautiful thing.
It is a
beautiful
thing.
And yes, it is, Bob. It is a very beautiful thing. Well, let's go to Marietta, Georgia, and talk to our friend Don. Hi, Don.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, guy? Hey, I know you guys have been all over Romans, and I so appreciate what I've heard, all the commentaries and all. And this is something maybe trivial and maybe not, and I guess I've got my own theory on it. But in Romans 7, I believe chapter 24, where Jesus makes his jubilant exclamation, you know, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, as opposed to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you think there was any particular reason why the Holy Spirit would have had the word Lord there as opposed to Savior? And I'll just listen for your comment.
Well, that's a great question, Don. And I think it feeds into everything that Paul is trying to say. Back in the day, in the Roman Empire, so he's writing to the people in Rome, the Roman citizens were required to give allegiance to Caesar. And so they would proclaim Caesar as Lord. And Paul is saying throughout this that this man named Jesus has been testified to by the power of the resurrection to be both Lord and God. So we see that in chapter 1. And then it's going to build to a crescendo in Romans 10, where it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Yeah. So Christ is Savior. He saved us through his death, burial, and resurrection. But he did so as Lord, as our Lord. And I think that's important for us to understand. When we proclaim him as Lord, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we are saying that there are no other lords out there. There's no other one that we can submit ourselves to and experience the abundance of life that Jesus Christ gives to us. And when Paul is saying, who's going to rescue me from this body that is subject to death, it's the Lord that's going to do it.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Well, you are welcome, Don. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
We do. Bob, we have a question that I'd like to get to. I think we can do it in the time remaining. This is from Linda. She says, I've gone to a Baptist church for the last several years and have felt as though I have been fed. Prior to that, I was baptized Lutheran. I have a little confusion between the two religions. My question is not really a question. I'm just seeking guidance in finding God's truth.
Well, you're going to find God's truth in the person and work of Jesus Christ as revealed to us in the Word of God. You know, all these different denominations, they have different takes on various aspects of the gospel. There's lots of denominations that try to differentiate themselves because of the way they baptize. Mm-hmm. And so baptism becomes the central issue. And if you go to a church like that, then you're just going to be doused with their doctrine on baptism. Right. Others on, you know, how to give and all these sort of things. And I think you just have to go right back to the Word of God as your source of truth and allow the Spirit of God to teach you truth, to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known unto you. You want to know who Jesus is. You want to know what he's accomplished for you through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. That's the message,
yes.
And that's the message that saves and changes lives.
It is indeed, and we appreciate hearing from our listeners. And friends, we truly need your help to fill up that $35,000 matching gift offer, and by doing so, help us reach our fiscal year-end need. Remember, every dollar that you give this month will be doubled. That's through midnight this Sunday, which is the end of that fiscal year. So please make your most generous gift today at basicgospel.net. And as you make that gift today or this week, we're going to send you a copy of Andrew Farley's newest book, Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. So please make your gift today, and we'll send you that copy. You can do that at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to have you partner with us. If you have a question before our next live broadcast, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.